You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Starting final hour, here we go. And what we're going to be doing this first part of the last hour is talking to an economist, a bona fide economist, about the future of the dollar. Now, every year, since I've been politically aware, people say this is the year the dollar is going to collapse and there's going to be martial law and rioting in the street and so on and so forth. Well, it hasn't happened yet, and I think the Chicken Littles have desensitized us to some extent from realizing that this has occurred throughout history, time and time and time again, in nation after nation, and there is nothing that gives America immunity to an economic collapse. And what makes matters worse is that Americans aren't tied together anymore by a common culture or faith or even language like people from legitimate nations. And, you know, we are bound by consumerism. Never before have we been so divided. And these are all reasons. And, you know, as I said, we have become a consumer economy. The only thing we produce is movies. That's one of my quips. We are not, we are a consumer economy as opposed to an industrial or manufacturing-based economy. And the results are becoming predictable, and things apparently continue to get worse. But we're going to find out from an expert, and Eddie is the one who has engineered this interview, so I'm going to turn it over to him. Our guest, Bill, is on.
Well, I'd like to welcome Bill on the night. I'm going to give just a very brief bio, and I'm going to let Bill give the rest of his bio. Bill is a college level. He teaches college level economic courses, amongst other things he teaches, in a very large university system here in America. And the reason he can't give his name is perfectly obvious. The same reason that many of our guests can't come on and give their true identity, because they would be branded as a racist, hate monger, homophobe. You know the drill. But the guy really knows his point, his stuff. I want to have him on tonight to talk about something that's an emergency. Bill, before I start asking you questions, I would like you to give you a brief bio. Give you a brief bio, if you don't mind.
Like I said, I've been working like about 15 years in education off and on, and I studied at a major university, and when I was going through college, a lot of the stuff that they were teaching me, I really didn't question. I was like young, and as I got older, as I went out and I experienced, there's basically economic fluctuations, I realized like a lot of what I learned in college wasn't matching up with what was happening out in the real world. So I just kind of like rethought like a lot of the things, did like a lot of research myself, and came up with a little different set of conclusions. There's a lot of economists that have like helped me out along the way. Some great ones: Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, some of the great Austrian economists.
All the great ones. And Bill, Bill, I'd like to just slightly correct you. Your point of view is, I wouldn't say a little bit different. It's drastically different. And I would say it's right on the money, because I know you are very well read. Bill, what I would like to have you on tonight, I think I briefly mentioned this to you off the air last week. 2-3 weeks ago, Bill, the Chinese came on board, and you correct me anytime I'm wrong. They made an announcement that they think the United States dollar is shot, and I happen to agree with them, that they think that their Chinese, their yuan, their several, and they have several currencies there, I believe, that they think their currency has value, and I hate to say it, but it does, to my best of my knowledge. They think it needs to displace the United States dollar as the world's currency, reserve currency. In other words, they want to get rid of the term of what's called petrodollar, whereas anything purchased on the world market, if I'm not wrong, you have to know, if you're France, China, India, Germany, you have to come up with dollars to buy oil, for instance. Well, they want to replace that with their currency. The Chinese want to replace that. And Bill, it was either the International Bank of Settlements or the World Bank agreed with that, and I'm going to shut up just briefly. They said, yes, they think that's a good idea to get the Chinese in here and get rid of their rotten dollar, and they're going to help them put that into place. What do you know about that, Bill? Tell us all about it.
Well, from what I know about it, basically what they're going to do is they're going to create like another international bank, kind of like the one the United States already has. And what they're going to do is they're going to finance that probably with printing money, much like we do here in the United States. And that's going to be a burden on the Chinese citizens. They're going to pass that off, the cost of that bank, to the Chinese citizens in the form of inflation. I think it's basically the equivalent of the American elites here, be like the Chinese elites over there. They want to create like an international bank and flaunt their new world status, their new world's status. What's it going to do in like reality? It's going to be allow countries who like import Chinese products to get cheaper interest rates. Basically, kind of like the same as our import-export bank that we have here in the United States. So they're basically kind of like mimicking what we've been doing here for like several years.
Now, Bill, now, if I'm not mistaken, correct me wrong, the Chinese, are they not already backing their currency with at least a portion of gold?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think if they did that, it would cause like huge financial ripples. That would definitely be a game changer if they did that. If they like partially backed their currency by 20% or 40% gold, like our currency, it was originally backed 40% by gold when the Federal Reserve was created. And obviously since then we've gone total paper money. But that would definitely be a game changer on the world scene if they, you know, even 20% backed by gold. Huge game changer.
I'm sorry, Bill. I didn't mean to cut you off. I don't remember. If you remember, but when we had you on a year or so ago, we talked about the BRICS nation, I believe, and we talked about the Chinese being part of the BRICS nations, and they were at that time they were discussing the possibility. In fact, the very real possibility, the intention of backing their new currency with gold. And I think we may have also talked about one of the things that brought Iraq down was because, Hussein and company over there were talking about they were sick and tired of being screwed over by the American bankers, the international Zionist bankers, and they were going to get their currency and back it with gold. And that's so goodbye Saddam and goodbye Iraq. Well, let me ask you this, Bill. What's going to happen? And I was talking with James about this during the break. I think about it like the Weimar Republic. What's going to happen to James Edwards, to Eddie Miller? James Edwards has two kids. What's going to happen if the day, just say Monday, the powers that be, we wake up and they said, okay, people, United States dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency. We're no longer going to be purchasing oil with so-called petrodollars. We're going to be the Chinese yuan now is going to be used as the world's reserve currency. Well, looks like we're going to a break.
Let him ponder it. Ask the question. What's the question?
I want to ask him, what's going to happen to the United States? What's going to happen to the people of the United States? What's going to happen to our economy? Are we going to a third or fourth world nation
We'll find out about that when we come back with Bill the Economist. Stay tuned.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, James Edwards and Linda the Bombardier Miller in studio with you tonight. We have Bill, an economist by training. And Eddie, you were asking a question right before the break. I'd like to get you to repose it, and we'll let our featured guest take it away.
Oh, I'm going to say that what's going to happen, and it looks like it's coming. The Chinese want to displace the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency. If that happens, and the guest is going to correct me if I'm wrong, then the Federal Reserve will no longer be able to print money to pay off. The government will not be able to borrow money from the Federal Reserve and pay interest on that money to pay off the welfare state that we have, to pay off all the government employees. What's going to happen when our currency becomes worthless? And will that happen? Will our currency become worthless, our currency being the United States dollar, the day that the Japanese yen takes over as the world's reserve currency, Bill? Am I right? Talk about that briefly, Bill. And I also want to tie this into martial law before I forget that, Bill, at the end. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, basically what would happen is, since we've gone off the gold standard in 1971, we've been able to run a trade deficit. Right now it's about $521 billion. And we've been able to export what slang term would be like export a lot of that inflation, because we are the world reserve currency. In other words, central banks around the world desire our U.S. dollars, and they hold them in reserve, and they what they call pyramid off of those dollars, those reserve dollars. And if we were no longer the world's reserve currency, we would not be able to do that. And the two things would happen. Number one, if we kept on printing dollars like we are right now, we would have a very dramatic increase in inflation over what we're used to. And similar to like Venezuela, I mean, the United States government, if they want to, the Federal Reserve, if they want to, they can continue to print and print and print. But you're going to get like very high inflation levels, and the public is obviously going to be like very discontent about it, especially food and energy prices. And
Bill, let me go ahead.
But right now we have like a $521 billion in trade surplus in our total foreign debt right now is about $6.1 trillion. That's debt that like foreigners own in U.S. dollars. So there's a lot of dollars already out there in circulation around the world. And if we lose that reserve currency status, then people are no longer going to want those dollars. There's going to be like plenty of them out there. And the exact opposite could happen in a worst-case scenario. People would want to like get rid of those dollars because they're becoming worthless. And if that happens, you know, it's going to be catastrophic at the grocery store, you know, when you go to buy food or anything like that.
So
what would you say the probability is of the dollar losing its standing as the world's reserve currency within, say, our lifetimes?
Oh, yeah, it's very high, very high. It's they've already printed like trillions and trillions of dollars with this quantitative easing programs. I would say like they've had like three quantitative easing programs, and that's like a fancy way of saying the Federal Reserve is creating like a lot of money and they're distributing it among member banks. But yeah, I would say if they announced quantitative easing number four, the writing would be pretty much like on the wall. They've had three quantitative easing programs right now.
Assuming the dollar does lose its status as the world's reserve currency, go into a little more detail about how bad life would be, you know, going out and doing your daily routines. I mean, would it be the end of the world as we know it? Would there be blood on the streets or what?
Well, it would be similar to Venezuela. Venezuela is going through that like right now. In Venezuela, when the people first realized that the inflation was getting out of control, there was like a lot of rioting and a lot of people were very upset, you know, burning buildings and so forth. It's kind of like that denial stage, like when you find out you have cancer. And as the inflation persisted and people realized that, you know, nothing they can do can change it, they just kind of like they kind of resign themselves to living as best they possibly can, figuring out ways to survive, figuring out ways to like get food. Venezuela, they've had like a high violence rate for several decades now. So I think in the United States, would violence spike? Probably. There's a good possibility of it. There comes a point when the population just realizes there's not much they can do about it, and they become, I guess you would say, like nihilistic. Like if you look at like Germany in the 1920s, people just kind of like resign themselves, and I'm going to live for today. I don't care about tomorrow. I'm going to do things that I normally wouldn't do. And so like a lot of the moral fabric of society breaks down when you have like really high inflation rates. If you want to see that in real life, you just take a visit to Caracas and you could see it right now.
You know, you mentioned that. You mentioned the Weimar Republic. One thing that the Germans had, Bill, in World War II, right after the First World War, or before the First World War, they had a very highly educated society, a homogenous society who had a great work ethic, no welfare system like we have in this country here. We have millions and millions of people on the welfare system right here, yeah. And they're used to getting their daily bread from the government. And you can correct me anytime I'm wrong. You mentioned the $6.1 trillion out there floating around. That's already out there. That the Federal Reserve's not even printing. This quantitative easing four, I think you said. I mean, if they had, they could print $100 trillion. But if when it comes to the point when these dollars are going to be worthless, the government cannot pay the welfare state, these people are going to be rioting in the streets. And this is the Eddie Miller scenario. There's going to be a riot in this country like we've never seen, because no modern nation in the world has ever had a large, unhomogeneous.
Well, we have an underclass that is that, you know, the welfare state isn't going to be able to be subsidized anymore, and they're going to come after Eddie's food.
And that's why we have martial law, and we have martial law in place right now. We have the TSA in the airports. Bill, I was here in Memphis, Tennessee, run marathons, everybody knows. I saw regular Army troops and college Army ROTC in the largest, best park here in the United States, directing traffic, in direct violation of policy commentators. What they're doing, they're getting people accustomed to seeing the military in the streets. Bill, I think we will have martial law. I think that tell me if I'm wrong. I think the day the Chinese currency kicks the dollar off the world stage, all hell is going to break loose in this country.
All right, so let's assume
that
may happen, and you can answer that, Bill, because we only have seconds remaining, and I want you to dovetail this into answering Eddie's question. Is there anything that this audience can do, or anyone at all, to prevent such an occurrence? Is there anything we can do other than just wait and pray that it doesn't happen?
Good question.
Yeah, basically you just want to do normal preparation for like any disaster. I don't care if you're in Kansas, you know, Georgia or whatever. You want to stockpile up on basic necessities. You want to be prepared, like let's say if you're in Kansas, like a tornado comes through. If a tornado comes through and power's knocked out and you no longer have like the normal shelter that you're used to having, how are you going to survive for like that week, that 2 weeks, that month or whatever? And you want to go to your local emergency preparedness center. Just get like a pamphlet and talk to the officials there, and they will tell you what you need to have: candles, flashlights, food, emergency food, water, things.
Guns
like that.
And lots of bullets.
Lots and lots of bullets.
That helps too. Yeah. And
the government, speaking of lots of bullets, the government has printed up, even the Forest Service, millions and millions and millions of rounds of 9mm, 45. M16 stuff, and it's not for the terrorists, it's for we the people.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, obviously, I guess what Bill's saying is the only logical answer. All you can do is prepare
Correct.
For the worst, hope for the best. There's nothing we can do that's going to change American economic policy. Bill, yes or no answer. Martial law, if the day the dollar gets replaced as the world currency, is that the day martial law is announced in this country? Yes or no?
Oh, gosh, I hope not. But it's always a possibility.
Well, listen, my friend, thank you so much. An interesting topic and one we don't cover enough. Thank you for giving us your insight. We've got to take a break.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so how many guests have we had tonight? Manning, Mark the Economist. Now we got Sam Bushman. My goodness, Sam Bushman, legendary talk radio host of the Liberty Roundtable program Monday through Friday right here on the Liberty News Radio Network, which just so happens to be the network that Sam founded and created himself, and the man without whom there would be no political cesspool, at least not on the nationally syndicated airways. We'd still have, I guess, our little affiliate here in Memphis, our flagship, but no, Sam is a great friend of ours personally, and you know, certainly in other matters and endeavors as well, and we're thankful to have him on. As I mentioned earlier in the program, in the second hour, I'm with him on the third Wednesday of every week on his show, which if you're not listening to his show Monday through Friday, you absolutely should be. LibertyRoundtable.com is the website. Every morning, Sam's there with great guests and his co-host, Kurt, who we know and love. Anyway, Sam's on with us tonight to break down the presidential field. But before we get into that, we will get into that in just minutes. Sam is going to offer his thoughts on the previous guest, talking about the economy. Sam, take it away and welcome back to the show, my friend.
You're very welcome for the air. Thank you for the opportunity. You're very welcome. Let me kind of break this down like this. Everybody's been preaching the doom and gloom of the American economy that's going to melt down ever since 1913, when fake money took the stage,
right,
and created the destruction of America. And so I do believe that fake currencies never last. Fiat money never lasts. It always melts down. That's historically factual. However, I get a little concerned when people, and I'm not saying the previous guest has done this, I'm just making this point. I get concerned when people put timetables on the meltdown. Because you know what? People have done that my whole lifetime and more. I'm almost 50 years old. And I'm telling you, every time they say it, it doesn't happen according to the timetables.
Yeah, I mentioned that as well. And I don't think he said, I think he did not say.
But I want to make that clear because a lot of people do say that. And I want to make the next point. You know, the American currency, I hate to be so direct with this, but look, the Americans have the world by the cojones when it comes to the United States dollar being the world's currency. And that will not last forever. And when that is not the predominant currency of the world, we're in serious trouble. However, I do not believe that when the end of the United States currency happens worldwide, that it will be martial law. I don't believe that. And I also don't believe that we're going to have a meltdown. We're going to have many meltdowns along the way, without question. But we're not going to have the major, absolute, irreversible meltdown until war comes. And the reason that I say that is everybody talks about the American economy and the demise. But look, they're spending, the elites who could take it down tomorrow are spending their time keeping it up, not taking it down. And they're not about to reverse course now. They don't want to have the blame when it melts down. So what they're going to eventually do is stage a war. And then after the war starts, they're going to say, golly, we can't help that the economy melted down. The war caused it. And that way they don't have to take the blame and feel our wrath. And so I'm convinced that war will precede the economic complete meltdown, James.
Sure. Yeah, I could not agree with you. I certainly agree. War. The war is a great precipitator of many events like that, Sam. Sam, I would like to kind of interject here. You may have heard me on the previous segment. I was in a park right here last weekend doing my run, and there was regular Army troops on the street in probably the nicest park in here in Memphis. The largest park, urban park in the United States, Shelby Farms here in Memphis. Lee Cochran was over there last year crawling with the United States military. Sam, you have to admit that the United States as a whole, with the police departments and the sheriff's departments, have become highly militarized.
Not only will I admit it, I'll go even further and say it's intentionally done. It's not just a mistake. It's intentionally done to get the American people used to troops on the streets, used to militarization of society, used to less and less and less freedoms and rights. There's no question about it.
You know, Sam, and I believe, you agree to that? I agree to that. They're not getting militarized for nothing. They're not putting troops on the street here in Memphis, Tennessee, you know, Salt Lake City and Pocahontas, Tennessee. They're not putting these for ISIS or for, you know, the so-called terrorists. They're putting them there for the United, for the people, for the patriots like ourselves. And, Sam, I believe this is the gospel of Eddie Miller. I believe that one of the reasons, one of the methods they're going to, that they want, that the people that hate America, the globalists, the people we call the power elite, I can name some of them. You can name some of them. We probably don't know the very top rung who control it all. But
I know the top dog, though.
The top dog is you, Sam.
No, the top dog, at least with the enemies of liberty and tyranny, is Satan himself, sir.
Oh, that's right. We Sam, know that. You nailed it. You nailed it. And who would Satan hate more? What nation would Satan hate more than any nation in the world? It'd be the United States of America that started for we the people, but for the greater glory of God, to come over here to this country and evangelize. They did it. You can read all the documents, you know, from the founding fathers before they even got off the Mayflower document. But I'm kind of getting going down a rabbit trail there. There's no better way. The guy John Maynard Keynes, one of the brilliant Keynesian economists who got this inflation, this fiat currency started in the first place. He said that there was no greater, and I'll just paraphrase, there's no greater way to bring any nation, no matter how powerful, to bring it to his knees and to debauch the currency. That's what they're doing now.
And I concur with that view, by the way.
And I'm saying, and I'm asking you, Sam, why do they want to do that? And I'm going to ask you if I'm right. Here's my point. I think that one of the reasons they're doing it is to bring the United States to its knees because they hate this. They hate the United States. I'm talking about these satanic people, these globalists. They hate us because we are a Christian nation. Sam, am I right?
Core. They don't care about money because they can make money. Okay, they can just
correct,
print money.
Correct.
They don't care about money. Money's just a mean to the ends, or if you want to say that. The reality is what they're after is this. At the heart of every person's soul is a principle called agency, Eddie. And agency means you can choose the way you want to live, the way you want to be, the way you want to act, the way you want to. And you are supposed to use your agency, at least if you believe in the American idealism, which is God is above government. There's a greater source of authority. And, hey, when you obey his commandments out of your own free will, blessings are your lot. Safety and protection is your lot. It's a wonderful thing. And when you don't, then you know what? God takes his wrath out on his children. And so you got agency at the heart of this. They don't believe in agency. They believe in tyranny and force. And that's really the battle being drawn. And the only way they can prevent agency is to destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth, a beacon on a hill, so to speak, and try to basically shut down the light with darkness. That's their goal. That's their attempt. And fiat currency is just one of the vehicles they use for that. Another one is immorality. Just making everybody believe they can sleep with anybody, anytime, anywhere, all the time. Hey, everything's about sex in life. And they pervert God. Everything God does right, they have a perversion, mirror image, false perversion thereof. And really, it's to chase the light away. It's to destroy freedom, and it's all about tyranny and control. And fiat currencies are just one of their methods.
You know, Sam, you brought up some great points. And you know what, Sam, what you could do? I kind of look at it this way. You brought up an excellent point, and, you know, probably there's no greater way to destroy the moral fabric of society than to go through the morality. You know, the quick way to pull the plug on society, like I would say, was to debauch the currency, to do it overnight. But you know, in a truly moral society, say like the United States was maybe 150 years ago when we had our founders here, if you had a truly moral society who were raised, you know, with the Bible, they believed in the God as the Bible, believed in Jesus Christ, moral, they would be able to withstand the currency plug-in. Look here at the United States, what happened in the Great Depression. We had the greatest depression that this country had ever seen, and yet the people didn't get in the streets. They didn't riot. They didn't go out and have sex orgies. They didn't have these dope smoking contests. But see, Sam, I'm afraid that nowadays, since the powers that be have been, and you brought this up, the powers that be have created this sex-oriented society, and we see it in Hollywood right now. It's just sex, 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 sex.
The only sex they don't support is between a husband and wife legally and lawfully married. That's evil.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Sam, one of the reasons they like to do that is because, you know, when they do get a rotten, stinking society, a welfare society obsessed with sex and being taken care of by the government, when they do pull the plug on the American dollar, then there's no moral fabric society, no foundation. When you, like the Bible says, when you destroy the foundations, what will the people do? What do you think of that, Sam?
Yeah, you see, family is the fundamental unit of society, a patriarchal order with a man in charge of his family, a woman standing beside him. They have different roles and responsibilities, but they're equal in their rights before God and should be before government as well. But the father is the fundamental leader of his family. Okay, this appropriate relationship between a man and a woman, and marriage and fidelity to each other and to their children, that's the fundamental bedrock for God's law. And I'm telling
exactly.
you break that down and you have no stability in society whatsoever.
Exactly, Sam. And during the great, as recent as the Great Depression, which really hadn't been that long ago, we had that, so that system that you just pointed out. That's, Sam, I'm asking you, this may be a rhetorical question. James is always talking about rhetorical questions, like this may be one. But is that why that the Christian-hating, God-hating globalists are abounding such an assault on the family system as we know, the sacred marriage system as we know? I mean, a day doesn't go by you don't see where some transvestite, like the Bruce Jenner types, he's not
even
up the
even heroes. The currency can't completely destroy society if you have strong families, James and Eddie, because
I
we
totally
just go
agree.
Back to barter. But if they destroy
great
the family,
point.
They got it all, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, that this was the great capstone to the conversation we were having previously with the guest to bring Sam Bushman right. on to tie it all up.
And then you ask,
up.
How does this relate to president? We're about to tell you.
Hey, right after this, folks.
Money will do it.
You think Sam's hosted a radio show before taking us out a break like that. We'll be back.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, after 10 years, I should know that when the producer tells me I'm hot or I'm up, that I should stop talking. But every now and then you get a little bit of the banter behind the scenes here in the political cesspool. Warts and all, you know, we're live.
Well, I'm guilty too.
Well, yeah, Eddie's the one always talking. I'm just telling him to be quiet. Now, well, so we got Sam Bushman, who just with the beautiful bow really tied everything together in that last segment with regard to the discussion we were having previously with Bill. And now Sam's going to tie that into the issue that we had originally scheduled him for tonight, which was to handicap the presidential field for those who have announced so far their candidacy for 2016. Sam, take it away.
Here's what I find fascinating about the deceptive mainstream press. They're running around telling you that 20 people are running on the Republican side of things and that one person is running on the Democratic side. Now, that's an absolute lie. First off, there's only three people on the Republican side who have even announced officially their presidencies or their candidate to be president. You got one person on the Democratic side, so really there's four people running. The others so far are talking about it. They're toying with the idea, but they're not serious candidates. They haven't even filed yet, James.
Well, let's give them some names. I mean, who has announced, who hasn't?
All right. Ron Paul has announced. I'm sorry, Rand Paul, not Ron. Rand Paul. Randall or Rand Paul has announced, Marco Rubio has announced, and Ted Cruz has announced. That's on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton has announced. Nobody else has announced at all.
The only official announcements
roster
that have been
correct.
Made.
That's right. Now, there's a lot of people talking about it. They're very likely to announce, they claim, except I don't believe it's real until they do, number one. And number two, they shouldn't be even given contender status until they do. And that's kind of one of the points that I want to make is that I don't know why they act like Jeb Bush has got the presidency or the nomination for the Republican Party sewed up. He hasn't even filed yet, man.
Sam, I got to ask you a question. This may be a stupid question, but let's go make a point. Have you ever not put forth a nomination for a candidate for the president, or even a United States senator, or do you have a friend or know anybody that has nominated a senator or a president? I don't have anybody that.
No, of course not. Come on.
Who does? Who? I want the American people to know, who is in control of nominating these people? And the second question before
The answer to your first question is there's what's called a private party, known as the Republican Party or the National Republican Committee, and the Democratic Party or the National Democratic Committee. They are private organizations. They're not even legitimate in terms of government or anything else. They're the ones that vet their candidates, and they all come from the Council on Foreign Relations or have ties to the Federal Reserve, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
So I'm pointing out to you that none of these people matter at all. Even if you got
exactly.
the best man for president, he wouldn't abolish the IRS. He wouldn't shut down the Federal Reserve. They can talk big, but they don't even have any authority to get that done. And the reality is I submit to you that, well, on the Republican side, there's a lady by the name of Carly Fiorina, who used to be the CEO of HP. Well, she failed at the CEO of HP, and now she thinks she can run for president of the United States. First off, no woman should be in charge of the country. I don't care if it's Carly Fiorina or Hillary Clinton or any other female. Okay, God put men in charge of the family. I think they should be in charge of the country. Now, I know that's going to slice and dice me, and they're going to say I'm a chauvinist thug, but the truth is, look, it isn't the role for a woman. And I submit to you that instead of talking about the president of the United States and who's really going to, you know, do what, it's fun to talk about it, but it really means
it's a sad show.
I'll tell you
Absolutely.
What really matters. What we ought to talk about is the father's place in society, gentlemen.
Sam, you know what? You in algebra years ago, what the question I was going to get to, you did what they called, you jumped about five of the elementary steps and went straight to the answer. That I was going to work to exactly what you're talking about. The people that actually control the presidency of these groups that you just mentioned, the Federal Reserve, the World Banks, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations, it doesn't make a hoot who runs for president. You're exactly right, because they're going to control it. Nobody, Sam, do you think that anybody has a prayer to get elected to president that does not come from with the anointed approval from those organizations?
Zero. And even if it were to happen, even if there were to be some slip of the cog, strange kind of gambling results of winning kind of an idea to where it happened, all they would do is threaten to shoot that person. Think what happened to Reagan. Okay, all I'm telling you is the chance, even if they got there, the chances of them being able to stay true to their agenda are zero, or they will be dead.
Exactly, Sam. So you know what? This probably gets back to, and I'm taking a page out of your playbook. The audience have heard. I almost hesitant to say it because I've said it so many times. This is why we have to just cut the umbilical cord we have attached to the federal government as we know it right now. We have to go back to start with the village, the counties, the constitutional sheriffs, the constitutional counties.
And it all starts with father in the homes, though. Look, families don't even have a dad in the home to discipline kids and take care of mom. Okay,
just like
society's
going to
melt down under those conditions, guys.
That's right. You know what? Like we talked about a minute ago, Sam, we used to have a moral society fabric with this society that you just described, the family type structure. We don't have that anymore.
Okay, but
Sam,
in the mainstream
exactly
press,
right.
Even if you mention that dad should be at home and have fidelity to his woman, the woman that he slept with and created children with, and we say, man, that guy ought to have fidelity to her, shame on him for leaving, you bring that up, and hey, you're like Sean Bergen. The mainstream press is going to fire you.
Sam, you're onto something right here, and you know we were talking about the conference that's going on tonight. I spoke at that conference a few years ago, 3-4 years ago now, whatever, maybe 3 years, and this was my talk. You know, I think we all get sucked into the sexiness, if you will, of the presidential race as if it means anything. We know in advance, no matter who wins, we lose, and so why so many people? And even I'll admit, even I get fascinated with just the aspects of the campaign, and I tune in to watch the drama. It's like watching a television scripted drama, and so I tune in. But this is what I said in my speech, and this is what I keep coming back to in a lot of these places where I speak is, the most important thing any of us can do, more important than getting involved in a campaign and a candidacy for the president, is to be a hero in the home. Be a good husband, good father, good son,
etc. No success is worth failure in your home.
There you go.
Right,
and it's common, I guess, common knowledge. It's nothing groundbreaking in that message, but it's the most important message I think we could ever tell. Be a father, be a husband, be a man.
Now let me lay it out like this. Hank Williams Jr. sings a song about me and my woman and the dogs and me back in the woods, right?
That's right.
All right, I'm kind of like that. Look, I'm president of my family, and my wife's vice president. Okay? And together we jointly take care of each other and our family. Okay? What if we had that all over the world? What would society be like, ladies and gentlemen? What if we realized that men and women are equal before God and government when it comes to our rights and our responsibilities, but we have different roles, and those two roles are complementary, not adversarial? What if we taught the truth, folks? Come on.
Well, Sam, you and James brought up.
This is great radio.
Points.
This is a great conversation.
Yeah, and Sam, and you and I are both, we believe in the baby, we love the baby Jesus. Listen, and you brought this up a minute ago when we were talking about the plug-in with the dollar, the dollar crashing. God is in control. Now, Satan is in control, but he's not going to be able to do anything God does not allow. God will allow Satan to do pretty much what he wants to do as long as when the American people stop obeying God, when they stop honoring God. If we get back to the society that you just described, that James Edward just described.
Yeah, we only receive our blessings based on our obedience, our willing to obey.
You nailed it. You and James, y'all both nailed it. You both nailed it. If we start obeying God, honoring God, then we won't have to worry about the Federal Reserve, the dollar, any of that crap, because God will take care of it all. Am I right?
And you
want
to know the cool part about me being president of my home? It's not for just 4 years. It's forever, baby. Come on.
I like that. It's over, baby.
Well, I think I read one time, the husband is to lead, the wife is to provide biblical support, and the children are to learn from both.
And to obey.
I think that's right, and I think generally the man is a provider and a protector, and the woman is a nurturer and a stabilizer. And I don't think those roles, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that they're adversarial. I think they're complementary.
No, they're absolutely complementary because, God created this perfect formula for us to have, and they complement one another, and neither of the sexes could do what the other does. And there you go. So.
The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, folks.
and all I'm telling you is this, how many fathers would there be without mothers? I'm just saying.
Amen.
So I know that people are going to think I'm just a chauvinist thug because I said I don't believe a woman should lead the country. It's not that I don't think many women might be capable. That isn't the point. Okay, a lot of women are capable of a lot of things, but you know what?
True.
There is order in God's plan, and the home is more important than the country, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
God laid it out.
That's absolutely right. Well, here's the thing. None of us, what we're doing here is making a difference. We know that on this radio network. But none of us are going to go out single-handedly and turn this country around. But what we can do is be a hero, be a leader in our own homes, and raise them up in our image, and to raise godly families and productive families. You know, that's something that we do have not absolute control over, but that's something that we can certainly have a heavy hand in. Saving the country, that's too big for any one man, but we can save our families, and families come first. And I'll tell you this, getting back to the presidential thing real quick, I'm not going to be voting for any of those guys. I'm going to be voting
right
for
now,
Daley
Kinn. Right now they're all about rhetoric and posturing, and there's nothing really of substance that I see.
I can't believe it. I'm shocked. But I'll tell you this, folks. I'm trying to remember all of my presidential votes. Buchanan, Peruka, Baldwin.
Wallace?
I wasn't old enough for Wallace. But
I just think we ought to somehow get enough money to let the Bombardier run on third party.
There you go. Everywhere. Until Eddie announces his candidacy, I'm probably going to be, well, there's no probably to it. I'm going with Daley Kinn, who's going to be on the third party ticket with the American Freedom Party. He's coming up right after our show tonight.
Well, listen, James said something, and I've harped on this 1,000 times. One man can make a difference. God has never worked through the majority. God, throughout history, has always worked through the majority.
Oh, we will make a difference. I'm just saying, I don't know if we're going to turn the whole thing around by ourselves. But anyway, folks, we love you. God bless you. Stay tuned for Daley Kinn. I'm James Edwards for Eddie Miller and our good friend Sam Bushman. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Good night, folks.